Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Are you listening to this episode on Himalaya? If you are, congratulations, because you're already using the best new podcast app out there. If you're not, well, you're a loser and missing out. So get it together. Whether you're a podcaster or a fan, Himalaya is designed with you in mind and has a ton of cool new features like curated shareable playlists and collections made just for you, along with personalized recommendations to help with content discovery. And the best part is, it's super easy to use. It's definitely my favorite listening app, and I'm sure it will be yours too. So do yourself a favor and download Himalaya today, and be sure to follow my show, Worst Firsts, once you're there. Bye. Guys, welcome back to Worst First. Thank you so much to everyone who's been tuning in. We are doing so well. We are ranked super high in the comedy podcast section. I'm not going to tell you how to find that because I have no idea myself, but they sent me the numbers and apparently we're doing great. They're probably lying to me, but you know, that's okay.
I believe
today
that.
We have a young Willem Dafoe in our presence. Literally,
don't get everyone excited.
You look so much like Willem Dafoe, and all my audience is like 18 probably, that they're like, who the fuck is Willem Dafoe?
They're Googling.
He played the Green Goblin in...
That wasn't the young Willem Dafoe. Is that you're thinking of me as Green Goblin Dafoe? Because if so, then I feel differently. Am
guys,
I Speed 2 Cruise Control Dafoe?
Guys.
In the bathtub with the locust?
Guys, John Rudnitsky.
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 Yes, yes.
Like Paul Rudd.
Nitsky.
Rudd.
I have a story about that,
John
actually.
Paul Rudnitsky.
I have a Paul Rudnitsky story.
Is here. He's a comedian, obviously, you guys. He was just in, what is the show you're on Who Live With?
Catch 22.
Catch 22 with Clooney. You're
the Clooney
what
himself.
What the hell?
Crazy, right?
Oh my, is it out right now?
It's out on Hulu.
Oh my God, guys, if anyone has a Hulu and not Netflix.
I think of you as like
Netflix.
Hip and up to date, but you're like, I don't know how you get these podcast numbers.
If you guys know about
the
Hulus and the Dulus. Yeah.
When I was a kid, a Hulu cost a nickel.
Yeah, you know, now it's a whole $9.99 a month. It's fucking crazy. No, if you have Hulu, guys, if you still have Hulu, watch John. If not, he's a fucking hilarious comedian, and you live in L.A., you have to come watch him perform.
Come to a show, yeah.
I've never seen him perform, but I know he's funny just from talking to him for 5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, I just did Conan, you know.
He just did Conan
You can watch
O'Brien.
My set online. And,
did you're
stand
so
up.
Famous. What's
I'm
that
very,
like?
Very famous.
You're seriously been so
It's hard
successful.
To go. It's hard to go anywhere.
You did a movie, another movie before this one with George Clooney. Who was it? With
Reese Witherspoon.
Reese Witherspoon, guys. Like he's like.
It's
literally...
a major work with so many famous people, and still, nobody knows who I am at all.
Well, we're gonna know who you are after this podcast, guys. Google him. He's single, right?
I am not actually.
Oh, he's not single anymore. Just kidding. Never mind. Unfollow him.
Yeah.
Unfollow, unsubscribe. Unlike
I did,
the podcast.
I posted
a girlfriend pic?
A girlfriend pic on Valentine's Day.
Oh.
I lost a bunch of followers,
which I
found flattering.
Which, you know what? When I started dating Tommy, I lost 100,000 followers.
Holy shit.
one.
The fact that you had that many to lose is awesome. And you take that as a compliment.
I was so upset at first because I was like, what the fuck? Because all these, and then all these guys started sliding into my DMs and going, oh, now you have hepatitis, so I never, all my dreams of you are ruined, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, my husband's been cured of hepatitis for, like, 10 years. He has no STDs. Like, I'm so health, like, paranoid.
Yeah.
That I, like, made him get tested for everything before we even, like, started hooking up.
Right.
But it was so funny. Yeah, guys, like, wrote to me.
But those guys DMing you angrily from their basement.
So angry.
In Michigan or wherever.
With their clenching their dicks.
Those guys have hepatitis. Those are the guys with that are fully diseased. No? They're, what are they pissed off at you about?
They were so mad. How many followers did you lose?
Maybe 1,000, maybe.
That's a lot.
I have like 40,000 followers.
But that's still really good. Like, don't say it like it's nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I mean, 40,000 people following you is a lot of people.
Sure, I guess that's true.
It's a lot.
Imagine a lot of them are like Ariana Grande fan 39 or whatever.
Whatever. Hey, it counts. It's a human.
Yeah. That is hopefully a human. Yeah, maybe. It's hard to know.
It might be a bot.
Bots. They're real.
You bought all your followers.
The bots are real. But aren't you happy that you really lost the 100,000 that you lost, or that you trimmed the fat?
Yeah,
that's a lot of dick pics.
It's a lot of unneeded, DMs. Unwanted dick pics. And by the way, I get no dick pics anymore.
You don't?
None. And don't start sending them to me now, guys, that you heard this, because I don't fucking want them. I don't want to see your purple miscolored penises, okay? I've seen enough of those.
A lot of miscolored penises.
A lot of different colors.
You can adjust the filter.
I literally thought that, like, I'd seen all the dicks, you know, until I got...
You did?
Until I got...
All the dicks. You're like, I was certain I'd seen them all. That's some statement.
I was certain I'd seen, like, I mean, I've seen my fair share of dicks. I'm not a slut.
Right.
But I definitely have.
You're well-versed in dicks.
I've seen dicks. I've dated, you know, all different races and all different faces.
You've done the Baskin-Robbins 31 flavors of dicks. You've done a Rocky Road. You've done a.
Oh, man, have I seen some Rocky Roads? Oh, boy. What? Anyway, yeah. Guys, okay, yeah. So the whole premise of the podcast is you tell me about a worst experience that's happened to you in your life.
Yeah,
it could be anything. It could be like a ghost story. It could be, which we haven't had yet.
Yeah.
So I would love one if you have one.
Oh, I didn't have a ghost story.
Right, you know what, John? Just get the fuck out.
I could leave. I could leave right now.
No. A ghost story, or like a dating story, or a drug experience, or maybe like...
I was thinking of like a first stand-up gig was something that entered my mind.
Horrible,
when
right?
I talked about it. The first time I got a road gig, quote unquote.
Oh, God.
It was like somebody had told me there was like a competition. This is like when Instagram had first started or something.
Oh, my God.
And you had make a 6-second clip, and you could open for Louis Anderson in Las Vegas. So I was like, oh, I'll do it.
I'll try it.
And I got it.
Oh my gosh!
And then I call my friends. I'm like, we're playing. I'm doing Vegas. I'm doing a show
I'm
in Vegas.
Open for Louis Anderson.
Yeah.
That's
so we
huge.
we all pack into the car and we drive to Vegas. And then it's like we drive past the Strip, and we're in downtown Vegas, which is very different than the Vegas that you think. And it's at the Plaza Hotel, which is like
horrible.
Everything's
right?
wet.
Everything's wet.
Yeah, like everything's like leaky. You
oh
know,
my
you
God.
Walk in, everyone's in a 4-wheel scooter.
There's like buckets collecting drips like everywhere.
They're not even buckets. They've given
they're
up on the buckets.
The floor's just
they
wet.
They can't afford. They don't have it in the. They don't have a bucket budget.
Oh
at the
my
Plaza.
God.
And I go and we have one room. The waters are like half drank. You know, the bottles of water in the room.
Ew. They're like, here's your green room. Sorry, yeah, it's green. It's green with mold, but that's okay.
Do your best with it. Yeah. And we, and then you get into the venue and it's like, you know, it smells like cigarettes from 20 years ago. And Louis backstage. And
why was he playing this shithole?
He had like a residency there, you know, and he has fans and he's great. And obviously, like, I didn't know what I was doing.
Right.
And he calls me into his dressing room, and he's like, and he goes, "Let me hear some of your jokes," which is not something that
you really do.
No,
yeah,
not,
you're like,
really
they can't not gonna do my set in
and
front of
I'm
you.
And then I'm like going through my jokes, and he's like, "Yeah, you can't say suck my dick to the crowd or whatever." He's like going through my bits and like adjusting them, and I only have 10 minutes of material at this point. That's not great to begin with. And I go out there, and the place is like a quarter filled.
What kind of audience
and
are we talking?
Yeah, it was like youngest is 12 years old. And then oldest is 112, and then there's nothing in between.
Oh my God, it's just a bunch of 12 and 112 year olds. Yeah. My God.
And then my friends in the back.
Who are just like, woo. Thanks for bringing us to this shithole, John. Never going on a trip with you again.
Ever. Because we were all psyched, and then bit by bit, it just kept getting worse and worse. And so I'm doing my act, and it's just, and I'm adjusting it as I'm going through. You know, I'm saying, you know, weenie instead of dick. And
making it so cheesy.
And it just like doesn't work. And
all the 12-year-olds are like, what a pussy. You can't even say dick. All the 12-year-olds are like ripping on you. Yeah, they're like, wow, what a fucking idiot. You can't even say dick. Yeah. What a fucking lame ass.
Exactly.
This guy said weenie, I'm out of here. Oh my God. They're
booing me. Wow. Well, no, I got like silence. The only people laughing were my friends.
Aw, they were laughing because they felt bad for you.
Because it was so bad.
Oh no.
And then in the middle of my act, a big screen starts coming down.
No.
Like super slowly.
And it just says, you're fired.
Yeah. It should have.
What did it say?
It was for the intro video for Louie.
Oh God.
Yeah. But you know, they lowered the screen in the middle of my act, and then it lights, and then it stops. And I'm like quiet for the whole time, and then it lights up bright blue. And then I remember I just said, I guess that's the end of the comedy. I know. I said, that's the end of the comedy portion of the show. Now I'm going to tell you why you should invest in gold. And pretended to do a PowerPoint presentation. That's the only thing that got a laugh.
That's funny.
Yeah, that was pretty good on the fly. But I was a nervous wreck.
Well, how old were you?
22.
Oh my God, so young. How old are you now?
29.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you look like a refreshed 45.
I look a little haggard. I've got some mileage.
Comedy does it to
you. I sound like.
Do you smoke?
Weed. Just weed.
Just weed.
Yeah.
No cigarettes.
No cigarettes.
You look like a smoker.
I do. My God. This is rough. Do I look like a smoker?
I'm just kidding.
I sound.
No, you sound like a smoker.
I look like a young.
You sound like, you know, you do your comedy.
I sound like an old Jewish woman. Yes.
When you do your comedy.
Yeah. That's right.
That's great, though.
That I play Mahjong on my time off.
You look like you are mature, but it's good.
Okay.
Not bad.
I'll take it.
Handsome.
I look like I've maybe seen some stuff.
You look like you've been through some shit.
Yeah.
But it's good.
I'm moisturizing.
We like that.
Nobody wants to
like look at some fucking guy who never looks like he's been through some shit.
I guess so. That's right. I like, as I get older, a little leathery look. You know?
Oh, leathery. No, you don't look leathery. Yeah. Don't worry. You're like, if I don't look like a handbag in 2 years, I'm out of here. Like, I need to look like an old handbag. So that's horrible. Yeah. I mean, we've all been there. Yeah. I never got to the place of you doing stand-up, but I used to do open mics all the time, and man, did I eat a bunch of hot shit sandwiches.
Like, I mean, I have bombed. I mean, SNL was like...
You did SNL.
Yeah.
You were on SNL.
I was on SNL.
Okay, so you need to tell me about how that happens. Well, like,
I
you
can
auditioned.
Tell you all about that process.
Yeah. Yeah,
I can also
tell
you about bombing at a table read at SNL, because that's like, you know, eating shit at the highest level. You
whatever,
know,
fuck
like,
them. Who cares? Most of their shit's not even funny anyway. No offense to SNL, but... they're like, you're never hired anyway.
Unless Lauren listening.
No, he's
like
listening.
That,
he's like, fuck
Lauren,
this chick.
What happened?
No, I mean, you know, when I was doing Vine, they were like, you know, come audition or whatever.
I wasn't
confident enough. Hmm. And they never wanted me anyway. So.
You should have. You had more viewers on your Vines than they do on
their
Saturday,
show.
Right?
I know, but you know what? I don't think it was real. I think it was like they were like my agents were like, "Well, put a package together and like we'll send it to them or whatever." And I was like, "It's not going to happen anyway."
Yeah.
I
definitely didn't think it was going to happen. I mean, I had hoped and prayed that it was possible. So what happened was
tell me how it happens. You submit a character thing for your agents,
right? No, what happened was I got an audition for Just for Laughs in Montreal, which is like the big comedy festival. They do there, and they do this thing called New Faces every year. Did you do this?
No.
They invite like 20 stand-ups, you know, that the industry needs to know about.
Right.
You know? And they invite SNL, and they invite Fallon, Booker's, and NBC, casting directors, whoever. And so I got a call back for Just for Laughs, and I was 2 years really into doing stand-up consistently, opening up for other people. And I knew I wasn't going to get New Faces. I wasn't there.
Right.
You know, in my act. I auditioned with some jokes, and the fact that I got a call back, I was like, well, I should do something different for my callback, even though they're expecting me to do my stand-up. Thing, and I had come up with this bit where I come out to the Dirty Dancing, I've Had the Time of My Life song, and I do all the choreography with an imaginary Jennifer Grey all the way up into the lift, and then I drop her, and then she's dead. So but I try to revive her, but she's a goner, and then I got to get rid of the body.
And everyone watches this whole thing?
But I'm still dancing the whole time, and it's all like a mime, like dance.
There's no actual doll or anything?
There's no doll.
You're just improv.
I'm just like, pretending, dead. And I'm like, oh, no, I'm crying, but I'm like, it's fine, you know? Yeah. And then I drive home to my wife and kids, and then the cops come, and I get a shootout with the cops, and then I die.
And you act this whole thing out?
And it takes the whole song.
By yourself?
Yeah. So I come up with that in between the audition and the callback, and I said, oh, this is really fun. If I go out for my callback, they expect me to do jokes, and I just come out to the song, I don't say anything. Mm-hmm. They're going to at least remember me.
Right, right, right.
And then they flew me to Montreal to do this weird
they loved
crazy
it.
Dance.
That's like when Will Ferrell's his SNL audition was like him play as a pretending
as a cat.
He was a cat mm-hmm. playing with a ball of yarn. Mm-hmm. Like, they love the dumbest shit.
Yeah.
Okay, so
it's so silly.
So you
it's
did
so
that.
Silly. I did that at JFL, and then SNL was there. They asked me to showcase in LA, and then they asked me to screen test at 30 Rock.
So what's showcasing in LA mean? Like, you audition?
Put together, an audition of characters and impressions.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like throwing together.
Oh my God. How stressed were you?
So stressed, but autopilot. I was like very much in the zone and like, okay, this is my chance, could I really do this? And then I was in the parking lot in Minnesota at a casino about to perform for a bunch of elderly people. And I get a call from Lorne Michaels saying that I got the job.
He called you directly?
He called me directly.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Do you still have his number?
I still have the office number.
Come on,
I did
call
actually.
Him right now.
I called back. I remember I got a missed call. I accidentally double clicked. So it was a 212 number. And I called back and it's like NBC Universal. And I said, I think maybe SNL called me. And they just hung up on me. And then I got a. And because of that, I have a voicemail that says...
Do you know how many calls they probably get
that
a day?
Yeah, right.
Hey, I think I missed a call from SNL.
Yeah.
It's me, Christine, 45, living in Brooklyn by herself, been doing improv for years. No? Nobody called? Okay, all right. Well.
Is Christine 45 her AIM name, or is it her
age? AIM. I love it. My audience doesn't know what AIM is.
They don't know what AIM is.
Guys, that's AIM. That's how we used to communicate back in the day when there were dinosaurs.
Yeah.
So
you have to tell me how to talk to your fans because I feel I just watched Euphoria on HBO.
Oh,
it's incredible.
I heard that was intense.
It's incredible, but I'm like I'm old. I'm 29.
Okay, I'm older than you, so now I feel really old.
But you know how people thought I feel like an old man.
He's all backpedaling. He's but you're right.
But I don't think of you as
but
old.
All
you?
The Botox you got, cut your age in half. You're like 15, right? I mean, you've been getting it for years. Who knows?
You just got my Vince, but
I got nervous. Okay, so wait. So you have to continue your story. So you got called by Lorne Michaels. You booked the SNL job. Then how does that happen? You book SNL, and then where do you go from there?
You have to pick up and move to New York.
So you moved to New York.
I moved to New York, and then you're like thrust into it. You're thrown in the deep end. I was the only new
like
hire
what time,
that year.
What are your hours like?
Monday, you go in and pitch. So the first week, Miley Cyrus is the host. You go in the evening on a Monday, like a 4 p.m.
Oh, that's great.
Situation.
I'm thinking like 8 a.m., 12-hour days.
No, but you'll see it kind of spins out. So okay. Monday, you go in, you cram into Lauren's office, all the writers and cast and... Miley Cyrus is at the front or whoever's hosting that week. And then Lauren goes around and you wait till he says your name and then you pitch a funny idea or hope that it's
an
a funny
idea for the host's intro?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you have to write something funny about what the host could say.
Yes.
And then you pitch it.
A sketch idea for them.
Oh, a sketch idea for the host.
Yeah.
Dude, I'd be so good at this with all the sketches I did on Vine.
Yeah.
So wait. So what happens?
That's what I'm saying.
You would write your sketch out, and then you.
No, you wouldn't even write your sketch out on Monday. You just pitch an idea.
Just
then
the idea.
Tuesday night, you go and you write the show. So I get there like 2:30. You get there at like 2:30 on a Tuesday,
uh-huh.
And then I would sleep there on Tuesday nights
uh-huh.
and wake up there Wednesday. But you're writing all night, and you're going around to writers, pitching them ideas, and being uh-huh. like, "Would you?" Because you're basically re-auditioning for your job every week.
Are you writing the whole show?
No. You're just
writing your.
You're trying to get yourself in the show, especially as a new cast member, because nobody's really doing that for you. I mean, you can try to find writers who want to write with you. Uh-huh. My first week, I was lucky. I had an idea for a Miley sketch. It was like a Grease dance,
uh-huh.
and. I'm like a Danny Zuko. I'm like, oh, that's the new girl. And then, it's like a bop-shoe-bop kind of song.
Uh-huh.
And then she, like, takes off her clothes and she's Miley and she licks my face and talking about like popping Molly. And I'm like, I don't know about this.
Oh, you
know,
that's
you
funny.
Know. You know, so that was like my pitch. And the writer was like, great, we'll work on it. You know, we come up with like a little song, like you take a nap, you know. I go take a nap. I come back. Song's written the next morning. Wednesday morning, I'm with Miley and the cast members and we're in a room. The music's been made and we're singing the song. And then we go to the table read. And we're like, you know, early on in the table read, which is a whole other thing. Because it's like a 4-hour table read.
This is stressful.
Very stressful.
And fast.
Very stressful and fast. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Something you write on Tuesday has the potential to be, you know,
on the show
on Saturday. So like, you know, I have like a pirate sketch and then there's a pirate ship built Saturday, you know, with everybody and all this stuff. And it was like a dumb brain fart of an idea. At
they
5
like,
a.m.
They were like, John,
Wednesday.
You're like, pirates, Molly, Miley Cyrus. Oh, they're like, we love it. Make it happen. Exactly. We're writing the music right now.
I wish, I mean, my first week went well, and then I struggled a lot throughout the rest of the show. But so Tuesday you write stuff, then you hope that it makes it to the table read.
Right, right, right.
Then if it makes it to the table read, you hope that it's in the beginning portion of the uh-huh. table read, because if you're, you know, an hour three, then people are kind of burnt out.
Right.
So that's all important. And then after the table read, you wait like an hour as they deliberate what's going to make it to the dress rehearsal. So then like a High School Musical, you're coming out and looking at what sketches they circled on the board. And then and then if you get picked, then you go and you sit down with the set and the props and this.
Oh,
and you're like, yeah, I think they'd be wearing this. I think they would look like this. And then they go and build that.
Jesus. And every week?
Thursday, Friday, you rehearse. Early Friday, they're doing pre-tapes. Late Friday, they're doing pre-tapes. You could be up all night on a pre-tape, you know, like doing a commercial
right.
You know, something like that. Saturday, you're rehearsing. Then there's dress rehearsal after in front of an audience. After dress rehearsal, you pack into Lauren's office again. There's a board with the order of the show. Everything in the right for this column is everything that got cut. So that's how you find out if something you worked on all week is just not going to make it.
Oh, my
and
God.
And your sketch can still get cut for time on air. So they'll be like, oh, we're not doing that. You know, you can find out last minute, change out of that, you know. So, yeah.
It sounds like a fucking shit show.
It's a shit show. Then you're
like,
after
the... Like, how
the
fuck does anyone know what they're doing? Oh, we got this sketch, and then we got that one. Oh, do you have the music for that? And then Pirates, and Molly, just, and Miley Cyrus, basketball hoops, and fucking exactly. unicorns, and rock mustache.
That's how I felt the entire time.
Yeah,
it's like,
I would hate that.
Yeah. It's, you're spinning out, and you're constantly freaking. Yeah, you're constantly freaking
and
out.
And I already have, like, the worst anxiety, so I'd probably lose my shit.
You wouldn't love it. And then there's the after party on Saturday.
And then
the after party.
Right?
I would. Well, I'd drink to either, like, celebrate a good week or, like, to deal with a bad week. And then, like, 8 a.m. on Sunday, I'd come back, and then Monday, you're back pitching again.
Were you miserable? Be honest.
I was both miserable and loving it. But, yeah, I had a tough time.
It was stressful.
Yeah, I'm 25.
You're
I've got my
so
dream
young.
Job.
Yeah.
And this was like my first big thing, you know, mm-hmm. but I was overwhelmed and felt like, I felt like I was fucking up my dream, you know, because.
And then what happened? So how did everything go south?
Well, you know, it's just, I would say I just kind of failed more than I succeeded at the job. You know, it's like a test run there. It's
you
not like it's normal
sketches.
For people to get fired after, yeah. you know, they're constantly renewing your contract or not.
Right, right.
And
they're like, John, this pickles and shoelace sketch, we don't know what the fuck, yeah, how much yeah. Robitussin you've been drinking. Like, we are just not
although I
kind of
wish I did a pickles and shoelace sketch.
Okay, guys, so everyone's like... pickles, and then they had their jump roping with shoelaces, and then we all take Molly, and we lick Miley's fucking pussy. Yeah,
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 that's
we don't
great.
Know. That's the sketch.
See,
you
would have been
it?
Good at this.
No,
you would have been good
terrible.
At this.
That's,
yeah.
So that's crazy. So that's so annoying. So what do? They just came up to you one day and they're just like, you know what, John? This isn't working out.
No, I wish it went down like that. I got a call from my agents that I wasn't coming back.
Oh,
and
go
I thought
to the agents?
Yeah.
So you're like waking up one morning, you think you're just getting like a nice call, good morning call from your agent. He's like, you don't have to go into the office today.
No one
wants to see you.
Yeah, it's pretty devastating.
Is it like that?
Yes. Well, they were basically like, you know, you can normally get a call from like all your agents and it's a good thing.
Right.
But Lauren called me to hire me.
Right.
So he did not call me to fire me.
That was probably hard.
Yeah, he didn't do that part. But
that place is a pretty good rotation. Like I've heard a lot of people, there's been very many successful people that have been fired.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
look,
plenty.
Adam Sandler got fired.
Which is Jenny
fucking
Slate.
Insane.
Yeah, him and Farley and Spade and Schneider like got fired after 3 years,
Did
think.
Did Chris Farley get fired?
Yeah. They all got fired together.
Why?
They swapped out all these stand-ups for...
improv people.
Improv people. And at the time, I think, like, you know, people were like, oh, the show's not good anymore like it used to be. And now we're like, those are the best years.
Those were... yeah. The best years. Mm-hmm. Although I will say right now, I think it's really great. There was a couple years where I just couldn't even watch it. Yeah. But I love Kenan Thompson. And,
he's the best, by
he's
the way.
Like a good person,
miss him
too,
the
yeah.
most.
Yeah,
yeah,
he seems like a just a fucking bowl of joy.
He is.
Yeah, he, yeah, like, he I just want to hug him when I watch.
Wouldn't it be such a bummer if Kenan was not like the nicest guy ever, but he...
yeah, you're like, actually, he's a total fucking dick. Yeah, he knows he's funny as shit, and he's an asshole. No, he knows...
just sweet and like full of hugs.
He
just
looks
like
he is just joy, and I used to watch all that, which was like my favorite show.
Yeah.
Do you remember that
of
show?
Of course. The best.
I grew up on that show, and so he was like him, and like... him and Amanda Bynes, all those people, they were, that was the shit. That was like SNL for Nickelodeon kids.
Yeah, he's literally been doing sketch comedy for, I mean, he's in his 40s, I think.
He is?
I know, that's crazy.
What?
I know.
Kenan Thompson is 40?
I know. Is that wild?
Dead. Okay, we're going to take a quick break with John Rudnitsky, and we're going to hear more about his failures when we get back.
Yeah, perfect.
I'm joking. You're very successful, and we're going to talk about...
I have failed many times.
We all have. And then the thing is you're like a phoenix, okay? A beautiful phoenix who's risen from the ashes
and
is reincarnated into young Willem Dafoe.
Yeah,
who's
old
killing
Jew,
it.
With an old Jewish
who's
woman
been in movies with Reese Witherspoon and George Clooney. And stay tuned, and we're going to talk all about this as we come back on Worst First.
Okay, yay.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hey, I'm Nolan Sykes, a host of Past Gas, the number one automotive podcast in the world. Every week, my co-hosts, James Pumphrey, Joe Weber, and I bring you some of our favorite stories from the hallowed halls of car history. From the amazing to the weird to the utterly unforgettable moments, we cover it all. Join us as we take a look at the wild stories and larger-than-life characters behind legendary cars and car makers. So if you love cars or just like a good story, check out Past Gas by Donut Media, the number one automotive podcast in the world.
Hey guys, it's Cheyenne Davis. You may know me from MTV's Teen Mom OG or Think Loud Crew podcast. I'm here with my dad, Papa Floyd, to tell you about our new podcast, Unfiltered Kitchen.
The kitchen is the hub of the household for many of us, the one-stop shop for conversations both big and small. Cheyenne and I have been having open conversations about all aspects of life in our kitchen since well before she was able to see over the counter.
And now we're inviting you into our own kitchen as a part of the family.
Unfiltered Kitchen is a two-way street. I share my advice on cocktails, cooking, parenting, and the lessons I've learned.
And I inform my dad what it's like to raise kids today, how generational barriers affect us, and the joys of being a daughter. Well, your daughter.
Get ready for a whole lot of unfiltered advice. You can take it or leave it, but you're never going to leave this table feeling hungry for more.
Listen to Unfiltered Kitchen wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, guys, we are back with John Rudnitsky. Oh, am I saying it right? I am.
Yes.
Rudnitsky.
Yes.
Not Rudnitsky.
Correct.
Rudnitsky.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was Rudnitsky of me to say Rudnitsky. Okay, so we're back with John. He's telling us like what it's like to go through all this shit with SNL. I'm so glad I never auditioned because I probably would have killed myself. I can barely leave my house. So, it's great to be here. It's great to be here.
You live in a nice house.
I do have a nice house. Yeah, that helps.
That helps.
That's probably why I'm like, there's a koi pond in here. Why would I go anywhere?
Why would you go anywhere?
Right? I have a koi pond in my house. Why? I'm rich. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not, guys. My husband is. I'm poor. No, I'm not. I'm actually very successful. But my husband's very successful.
I happen to think that if I got koi pond rich, I'm good.
That should be a title.
koi pond rich. That should be your
But you know what's so funny? No matter how rich or successful you are, everyone still has like issues. Like I still have problems. Like it's like I kept thinking my whole life, like when I was poor and I used to live in like a studio apartment that had like a shower in the corner of the same room.
Yeah, sure, of course.
I used to think, oh my God, when I have so much money, my life is gonna be so great. I'm never gonna have to worry about another thing again. Boy, was I wrong.
Yeah, it's so
not true. Like, if you don't address your issues while you're poor, they follow you.
Sure.
With your money.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? So
I gotta remind myself of that.
It's like, you gotta remember that.
It's like, very difficult in LA because, like,
you keep looking forward.
Well, literally, you look up at the hills and you see all the rich people.
Yes.
You know, you see all these houses. Yep. I mean, the way the city is built is like, there's everyone's up there.
I know, and it's like a society.
And it gets poorer and poorer as it goes down.
So
you're like, how do I get up there?
Yep.
And when I get up there, I'll be happy. And the problem is, I really do think if I had a koi pond, I probably would be happy.
Dead. But you know what?
I mean, I think I'd be happier. Yeah. I don't think it would solve certainly all the problems, and that's...
No, I mean, like, it's definitely, I think, a thing to, like, you know, I mean, I went from literally living in a rented place that was, like, $500 a month, like, East LA, ghetto, like, next to a weed dispensary, and, like, just so horrible to, like, living where I live now, and it's crazy.
It's crazy.
And I've had a little Yorkie, Wicket, who has been with me the entire time.
Wow, he's like, what did we do? We are crushing
it. Sometimes I just catch him looking at me like, damn, bitch. Like, he looks at me like, bitch, I remember. Like, he's like my last tie to like my poor days.
Yeah.
And
right.
Sometimes I think he just looks at me like, we've seen some shit. Wow. Like, you know, he just makes that eye contact. It's so funny. He's like this little old Yorkie. But
it's very rare you hear a rags to riches story from the POV of the dog.
Oh my God, the dog. Like, he's like, I remember when I used to have to pee on fucking cement and a fuck next to a crackhead who's dying in an alley.
Yeah.
Now I got fucking billions of pieces of grass, like acres
I can
of grass.
Anywhere.
Can shit anywhere. I got a guy who's going to pick
it
up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got my own bedroom. Like, what the fuck? He's freaked out.
God.
Yeah, but he loves it. He's so happy. Shout out to Wiki. Act like he's listening.
What?
Wiki, mommy loves
he might
you.
Be. Could be.
Clearly crazy.
Rich dogs can communicate.
Rich dogs listen to podcasts.
Yeah, they do. They have that kind of time.
I'm dead. So you got the phone call from your agents one day. How long were you there before?
I just did a season.
So how long
is
the season?
And also the thing is, like, I'm from Jersey.
Yeah.
Your manager, Brian Lieberman, who's here right now. I grew up with him.
I love him.
Shout out to Brian Lieberman.
Yeah.
So when I got the job, it was like, I had like a my family and friends are all back home.
You
it was like
yay.
The first big thing. Like,
yeah.
I'm moving back to New York, but also on SNL,
they were like, oh my God,
we all got
my son's going to be famous. Yeah, your mom's like, already selling your autograph on eBay. I'm dead.
Yeah. 100%. We all got SNL, you know?
Right.
So I think there was like, you know, even in the intro of the show, you know, when they say your name, it's like me and my friends walking down, my childhood buddies and my brothers walking down the street. And so then when you lose it, it's kind of like, really devastating
because
it's
like you just replay
guys.
That clip over and over
again.
Yeah,
exactly.
You post it every day on your Insta story.
Oh my God.
You guys remember this?
You guys
Throwback
remember when
Thursday.
I
they're like,
when
John,
I
it's Wednesday. Yeah, whatever. Throwback every day, you fucking assholes.
Miley, is it still your number?
Oh my God.
Yeah, no, it was. So it's like pretty devastating. So I left I left New York. Mm-hmm. I was like, I gotta get out of New York. I gotta go back to LA. Because I was in New York because of the job. I moved job. It was like a bad breakup, you know, and everything would remind me of the show. And I was like, I can't be here on Saturday nights and just not on the show. So I moved back, and then I ended up doing the Reese Witherspoon movie like a month later. So
God. So like, great.
So I was like really scared and sad for a very short period of time.
You had like 3 days of being depressed, and then you're like, you booked a movie with Reese Witherspoon. You're like, yay, I'm happy. Life is good again.
Yeah, it was great.
You're lucky.
Yeah.
You are, but also you work very hard.
Yeah, it's a mix of the two.
It's a lot, isn't it? You have to, people say like, oh, you're just so lucky. But like, no, you got to really like, you got to hustle.
Yeah, there's I really do think it's a combination of everything. Like I remember I spoke at my college graduation for the theater school at
USC. Everyone's
like,
is that, who's that? John Rudnitsky? John, okay, he's John Paul Rudnitsky. So is he Paul Rudd's cousin?
I have to tell you my Paul Rudd story. Okay, also,
tell me the Paul Rudd story.
But anyway, I spoke in my commencement speech and I said, you know, it was to the theater school and I'm like, we're all fucked, you know? Yeah. We all picked the wrong thing to spend 4 years focusing on. We wasted our money. And then in the audience was the head of this big management company out here. And she signed me that day. So I'm like,
my God.
That would be an example of luck.
Luck.
And
an opportunity.
An opportunity, meaning. So you know, and things like that would happen. The Dirty Dancing thing, you know. Just moments like that really like defined and changed my life.
Yeah, but also this is you. Like you you're the performer. You're the one that came up with the ideas. You're the creative talent.
Right.
That's what it is.
That's why.
So give yourself a goddamn pat on the back, would you?
All right, fine.
Yeah, there you go. Come on. Come on.
Thanks, coach.
Yeah. So you have another story you want to tell me about when you were first moving into an apartment in LA.
My first apartment after college. I moved into like a pretty nice place in Santa Monica with my buddy.
How'd you get that after college?
I was getting a little bit of help
from your parents.
It wasn't really nice. I mean, I was also driving for Lyft and dancing at bar mitzvahs. So
stop.
I was like,
you were dancing at bar mitzvahs?
Yeah, I was a bar mitzvah
dancer,
like hype man.
Oh my God!
Like I would do the photo booth, but then I also would do like
so like not a DJ. The wobble, you just wobble, run around whatever, screaming, getting everyone excited. Like
cha-cha.
Get up, Grandpa!
Let's
fucking
do the cha-cha
your
slide.
Shit.
Yeah, that's
very Jewish. The cha-cha slide, very traditional Jewish dance.
It is, right?
Yeah,
the hora.
I love it, and the cha-cha slide. They're both very, you know.
Yeah,
it's very intense. For Judaism, I love that.
Every bris I've ever gone to.
Yeah,
that's very niche joke. For the audience, because I'm like hoping that 18-year-old
Jewish
18-year-old,
I think, that follow me. I don't know.
Yeah.
Are you Jewish?
I am.
You are, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Paul
Rudnitsky.
Paul Rudnitsky.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you get your apartment, your luxurious apartment in Santa Monica that your expensive Jewish parents pay for. Your parents doctors? What are they?
No, my mom's a geriatric social worker. My parents are divorced. And my mom's a social worker married to a chiropractor. And then my dad was like a done well in hotels. He was like a
hotel.
Yeah, he like ran Wyndham for a little bit. So he's done.
Oh, the Wyndham. Yeah. Okay. So
he's done well.
So you're like Hilton light. Extra light.
Yeah. Like, Marriott Courtyard.
Marriott Courtyard.
Yeah, that's great. Hilton Garden Inn.
So
Embassy Suites, maybe at best. So I'm just gonna start listing. By the way, this podcast is brought to you from
Motel 6.
Quality Inn.
I can't. Okay, so
we don't know quality.
So your dad gives you money to buy to rent an apartment in Santa Monica.
He helps me out with my buddy who's at USC Law School.
Uh-huh.
And this apartment, you could like, I guess like across the way. It's all old people who live in this like. Apartment
Why
in Santa Monica.
Why did you still live here?
I don't know, because I was like, it has a lot of sunlight. It's nice.
Oh my God.
And it was
the same thing the old people like, it's got nice windows for sunlight. I'm old. I need it on my old raisiny skin.
Yeah,
oh my God.
It's like such a uptight, stiff kind of place. And I have some buddies over. I remember one night, and everyone can hear everything. And there's like three little apartments, like right across this alleyway.
Oh my God.
And we're on our balcony, and we're up late, and we're like 22 years old, and we're drinking, and we're like making, you know, disgusting, awful jokes, and saying things loud.
Yeah,
like, you know, like like, you know, really, like, you know, pretending to get fucked by a horse or like,
ew,
you like name
what
whatever.
What kind of friends do you have? John.
Whatever, like, I can't think of it now, but I'm like, whatever it was like disgusting and awful and something you like, but like silly and.
You know, just like guys fucking horse videos. Yeah. Just totally
normal
and chill.
Actually doing that, just making dumb jokes, you know?
Oh my God.
And, but all the jokes, you know?
Right.
And loud. And my roommate, who's like in law school, is like, you have to keep it down. Like, we're gonna get, you know, we're gonna get in trouble. And yeah, whatever. So we go out there, we come back later, and we're drinking again. And then so from across the way, I hear, shut the fuck up.
Oh my God, old man Withers.
Old man Withers
banging his cane on the door.
Up.
Hey, yeah, shut the fuck up, so, kids. You damn kids are so loud. We fucked horses back in our day in peace. No one ever knew we were fucking the horses.
Yeah, yeah,
we were quiet. And we were quiet about it. Never was a problem.
And it cost a shekel.
Yeah. You could fuck a horse, no problem back then. Now the dicks are huge. I'm dead. Okay, kids, go ahead.
So
they're old man Withers across the door.
Oh, yes. So somebody else shut the fuck up. It actually wasn't an old man voice. It was like a scary guy's voice.
Oh.
And I didn't tell my roommate, you know, that we had gotten yelled at, because he's so freaked out that we're going to get kicked out of this place the first week.
Yeah.
So he's like studying, you know.
Of course, he's in law school. He's miserable.
At his desk, like,
just,
you know, the
next
day.
Adderall.
He's got the door open, and he hears a woman and a guy come out of the door, the apartments across the way, and he's like, did you hear those guys last night? She's like, yeah. She's like, we need to get them thrown out of here. They're fucking... they're terrible. You know, they're
conspiring.
Yeah, they're
to
like
get
these,
you guys.
Oh, we're writing a letter to the, and my roommates listening. I was like, God damn it, John! Like, why? You know, we're smoking pot. We're just
the worst.
You know, a bunch of frat guys moved in next door.
Right,
the old age home, right? So, I'm like freaking out. I'm like, what do I? Nathan's like, you're gonna get me kicked out of here. You got to do something. So I go to my other friend. He goes, why don't you just say, like, why don't you just go? You got to go and apologize. Say, look, I'm a comedian. My friends are, by the way, at the time, I was like barely a comedian. I was like, I'm a comedian. My friends are comedians. You know, we don't mean any of the things we say. It's all jokes, you know?
We all have mental problems. We need substance abuse to
which
calm
is,
our minds.
Which is true.
Yeah, which is true.
We say disgusting, awful things, but when comedians say it, it's a joke.
It's
you
a
know, that's
help.
How we deal. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's how we cope. With it. Yeah. We're just spiraling all day, every day. Yeah. Just deflecting my negative thoughts.
Right.
So then Nathan's sitting at the table and he's like, you got to go down there. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to go down. I'm going to fix this. So I go downstairs and I knock on the first apartment.
You put a suit on.
There's
the
three of us.
Hello, it's me.
Get all dialed up. Axe body spray. That would be a bad call. Always grossest. And so I knock on the door. This guy answers, and I go, hey, listen, that was me and my friends the other night. I'm sorry. I know we said some disgusting, awful things, but I'm a comedian. My friends are comedians. We say a lot of terrible things, but we don't mean them. You know, it's all in good fun.
Yeah.
And he goes, I was not here this weekend. You might want to go next door, though, because maybe they heard it. Yeah, I haven't been around, but thanks for
the apology.
Thanks for the heads up, and now I know.
And if it makes you feel any better, I like fucking horse porn, too.
Yeah.
Dope. Okay, so yeah. So then
I go next door.
Next door, yeah.
I go upstairs, and Nathan's just cracking up. He's like, you got to go back down. So then I'm like, okay, I'll go back down. Door number two, I open up. I see there's a woman there. She's watering her plants. I'm like, hey. She's like, oh, hi. I'm like, I'm the guy from up there. She's like, oh. You. And I go, listen, my friends are comedians. I'm a comedian. I don't mean any of the things I say. We don't mean any of the things that I say. You know, we say it's all, you know, ingest. And she goes, oh, you're a comedian. She goes, why didn't you say so? She goes, totally fine. Just keep it down from now on. And if you ever have a show, let me know. I'll bring some friends. I'm like,
Wow.
The comedian card really does work.
You like tell people you're a comedian, you get away with anything. Like, it's comedy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So then I go, well, I got to go to the third door. Mm-hmm. You know, there's three doors. Mm-hmm. And this is going to be shut the fuck up guy. Because the first guy was not shut the fuck up guy.
So. First guy was into the horse porn.
So I go around the corner to get in there, and there's I open a door, and there's stairs going straight up. Oh, I'm like, this is like the final level. No. If this is a video game, this
is
the
boss. You had to beat the boss now. You made it to the boss level.
And there was like a doggy gate at the top.
Stop. It says beware of
and
dog.
And he comes out shirtless, and he's like jacked, and he's pacing at the top of the stairs. I'm like, hello? He's like, what's going on? I'm like,
his pit bull standing next to him ready to bite your dick off. They're both jacked. They're both wearing tank tops with gold chains. Yeah. What's up?
I mean, literally. That's what it felt like. In my memory, that's what it was.
Final boss, and it's all finish him. Right. Where'd that come from?
Here I go. I know. I wish I knew the code.
You're like, X square. He's like, what is this guy talking about?
Yeah. Okay. So I'm like, I'm the guy from across the way.
I'm a comedian.
I said, I think you're shut the fuck up guy.
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
You said, I think you're shut the fuck up guy.
Yeah, he goes, you got a lot of nerve. Let me tell you something. You guys are being loud. You're smoking pot. You're saying gross, disgusting, vulgar jokes or whatever, you know? And I'm like, listen, you know, I'm a comedian.
Oh, my God.
My friends are comedians. And, you know, we don't mean anything to say. He goes, hey, listen. Takes a lot of balls to come over here and say what you did.
He's like, especially to me and Petunia.
His pit bull's name is Petunia. Yeah. Me and Sprinkles. Who would have fucking kicked your ass, you know?
Oh my God. So then he said, what happened?
So, and then he goes, it takes a lot of balls to get on stage. You know what? Got a lot of respect for you. Thanks for coming over and saying something. You know, I got a friend that works at Comedy Central. You know, leave your headshot here one day. And just try to keep it down. So that was my story of my first apartment I ever lived in.
Wow, you actually got off so easy.
And I learned about the comedian card. The comedian card.
It's a comedian card, huh?
Yeah.
It sucks that you can't really use it much anymore, though. Like, people make really, really vulgar jokes and rude jokes. And you used to be like, oh, but it's comedy, so we get away with it, right? But now you make those jokes, and people don't take that anymore.
Yeah.
They're like, if you make a joke about, you know, rape or anything like that.
There's the Twitter mob.
You can't, they will come for you and they will hang you and they will cancel
you. I think there's a good
you.
And bad to that. I mean, I think PC culture's definitely made me just try to make smarter jokes. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to make jokes about the worst things, you better have a very smart take.
Yeah.
Which I get. I mean, at 22, oh, God knows what we were doing. They probably weren't even jokes. There was just probably being obnoxious, you know?
Right. You guys were probably just like, horse cock!
Horse cock, like, whoa, whatever.
Why are they
just
screaming about
horse
cocks? That's weird. Anyway. No, I feel you. I actually, it's so funny when you were telling this story, it reminded me of a story when I was broke and I first started dating this guy and we were broke together and we had to move into an apartment complex. And so we find this really good deal. We find a 2-bedroom apartment in West Hollywood.
Yeah.
And it was only $1,500 for a 2-bedroom, which was insane, right? At the time, and now it's insane. You can't even get that anywhere. And the community
that
was
wild.
It was an old Russian community.
Right.
Everyone
there's
in the
always a catch like that.
That was
right?
the catch. Everyone in the someone just died, and so a room became available.
Right.
And I
the body's still there.
Yeah,
when
the body's
you
still
move
there.
In.
They're gonna move it, but you know. So I'm walking by and I see them moving this person's stuff out and I go, oh my God, is there an apartment for rent? And this guy's Russian. He's like, oh yeah, the one apartment. And I'm all, how much? And he goes, $1,500.
Don't ask any other questions.
How many bedrooms? Yeah, he's like, a two. And I'm like, oh my God. And I go in, it's all hardwood floors.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yep.
Clean.
A little bit
I'm
of blood.
Like, okay. Yeah. Tiny bit of blood. Little smells like Chernobyl. It's it's all good though. So I literally, I go in, I'm like, oh my God, I have to get this apartment, right? And I don't even think that, you know, this everyone who's moving this furniture out is a Russian person, an older Russian person, which is great. You know, that. But how are they going to deal with me and my new boyfriend, right? And our dogs.
Yeah.
So, oh my God, dude. So we move into this apartment building.
Oh my God.
It's the middle of summer. It's so fucking hot. Oh, we have a window air conditioner that kind of circulates through the whole thing. It works great. So we have it on, right? We're getting ready to go to bed that night. The air conditioner's on, and we hear a at our door.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, what the fuck? Who's banging at our door at 12 o'clock at night? You know, this is scary. We just moved in. You know, we're just getting settled. I open the door, and it's 5 of the neighbors, okay? Russian neighbors who do not speak any English at all. And they go... The guy walks into our apartment without even asking, walks in, and he points at the air conditioner and he goes, condition off. And we were like, condition off, like turn it off. No, because it's hot. It's like 100 degrees in LA. No, leave it on. It's hot. And then he takes me by the hand and he takes me outside.
What?
And he points to all the other air conditioners in people's windows and he goes, look, off, 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 off. Condition off. After 6 p.m., off. Everyone. And I was like, why? And he's like, too loud, too loud. So like apparently this whole community together communally turns their air conditioners off at 6 p.m. every night because it's too noisy. And they're not even noisy. It's like it's an air conditioner,
right?
You know? It's
also
a fucking window unit,
noise.
And it's fucking it's white noise, and it's so hot. Like I'm telling you, like it's, you know, it's LA hot. It gets hot in LA. And so I was like, no, we're leaving it on, right? So then,
I'm scared.
So scared, right?
Yeah.
So then every day for like an entire year. This guy and his group of freaking thugs, every time I would walk by them, they would say fucked up shit in Russian to me. Like disgusting, like spit on the ground, like they hated me, right?
Yeah.
Hated.
Because of the air conditioning.
Because of the air conditioning.
In LA summer.
They were like, they hated that we wouldn't turn it off. They actually told the manager and then he called us and was like, can you turn it off? And I was like, dude, I'm fucking, it's so hot. No, we can't turn it off. And we're paying more rent than all these people. You know what I mean? Because like they were all rent controlled.
Yeah, yeah.
They were probably like paying $400 a month. Meanwhile, we're the new people paying $1,500.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Toe-to-toe with the mob.
Going toe-to-toe. Like, I, like, thought they were going to have us killed, right?
Yeah.
So then it just became, everything became a problem. Like, the way I parked my car, he would come out and be like, no, park over line. Like, my car would be, like, this much on the line. The spaces were, like seriously so tight. And I was like, oh, my God, like, there's no room. Like, he'd be like, no, over line. Like, everything was a problem. You
this
know what I mean?
This was Putin.
It was,
Putin
it was
your
very
landlord,
dictatorship. Like, I lived under Russian dictatorship for, like, a year. But let me tell you what changed the game.
Yeah.
So I actually, at the time, had only had my dachshund, Meg, who was a wiener dog. And then we got a puppy, Yorkie, named Wicket. And he was this big. And these guys hated us. Like, hated. I told you, every time I walked by them to go to, like, an audition or something, they'd be like, puh! Like, say fucked up shit, spit on the ground, whatever, right? These old guys. And they were always sitting in lawn chairs out front. Like, I'm like, what is there to look at? I don't know, but that's what they were doing.
Always.
Anyway,
had to be.
Always. So I get a puppy, Wicket, and one day, you know, Wicky's like gets out, you know, and he's running around. And he runs up to the guy who hates me. And he's at this guy's feet. And I was like, oh my God, this is gonna, he's gonna step on my dog and he's gonna kill it because he's evil and like whatever. This guy's face goes from being like the angriest, most fucked up piece of shit, angry dude.
His heart melts.
And he goes, ooh, and he picks up my Yorkie and it starts licking his face and he's like, oh. And he's like petting the Yorkie because Wicket was like literally like seriously so tiny, like maybe a pound. And he melted and he brought his wife out and the kids and their kids and all everybody came out to see the Yorkie.
Family.
The whole family that was living in the apartment, literally in the one bedroom apartment.
Yeah,
all of Russia came to see the dog and they all came out and he was like, oh, and now since that, he was so nice to me. And every time I would go somewhere, he would want to play with the dog.
Wow.
How crazy
there
is that?
There you go.
So like you know, it's like,
and
so
you could use the air conditioning after six.
Of course. I mean,
point.
I was doing it anyway.
Right.
But like, it was just so crazy how this guy literally for an entire year like tortured me the way I parked, like, you know, giving me dirty looks when I walked by, spitting on the ground, saying
Wicket.
Fucked up shit in Russian when I walked by with his Russian friends, like, and this is like an old guy. This is like a 60, 70-year-old person, right?
Yeah, sure.
More 70. And then when he saw the dog,
looked 150.
Looked 170.
Yeah,
yeah. Looked like he just got out of war. But but then with Wicket, he was like so nice. Then afterwards, and he would always ask, he would knock on our door and ask to hang out
with
the
dog.
It'd
be like knocking late at night.
Yeah.
Air conditioning is fine. Can the dog come out and play?
Okay? Is the dog kisses?
Yeah.
Kisses? Like, who doesn't love a dog?
Just licks before bed.
Some
please.
Kisses before bed. Yeah. Yes, very good for the heart. But yeah, so that's basically, you know, that's life.
That's crazy.
That's life. Yeah. Isn't that kind of crazy?
And then to think that you were in that apartment and now.
Oh my God. I've lived. Okay, so I like literally lived in the most shitty situations. Like I've lived in some really shitty apartments. Even then, it just progressively got better. It literally was like levels. Like I started in my studio apartment.
Yeah.
And then I'm wrong. I started in an apartment in downtown LA when I first moved here at 17. And it was $2,400 a month, and I saved up all my savings to. And I thought that because I thought downtown LA was like New York City, so I moved to downtown in 2005.
No,
when there was nothing, no grocery store, nothing. Because I had no idea. I just wanted to come to LA. It's so shady.
Yeah,
there was like tumbleweeds of like HIV rolling.
I'm surprised it was that expensive. Actually,
it was very expensive. It was in the. I was in the Medici, the like resort.
I know the
living.
Medici because I went to USC and
I lived in the Medici.
All the very like wealthy kids. Yes. The Medici.
And I lived there and I spent all my savings there. And then when I ran out of savings, I met some girls and we moved into a house in Hollywood. Anyway, totally like years later, now here I am. It's kind of crazy.
Wow.
Isn't that insane?
That is insane.
I was like, wow.
You're doing all right.
I never thought I would make anything of myself, and neither did my parents. They were like, just come home. You
and
don't
now
know
what
anybody.
Do they think?
Yeah.
Are they proud
now
of you?
Now they're like, oh, what are you, a webcam girl? What do you do? Like, we're not sure. We're not sure anymore. Vine's gone, so what do you do now? Yeah. We're not really sure. But,
do they get along with Tommy?
They love Tommy.
They do.
Yeah, my dad loves Tommy. Yeah. You know, he's fun. He's like very funny. Yeah. You have to meet him.
I would love to meet
him. It's actually
him.
So funny because people
of
are like,
course,
what are
it'd
you
be the
guys?
Coolest.
Like they think that like we're such a weird couple, which yes we are, but like if they knew him and knew me, they'd be like, oh my God, it makes total sense. Because he's very, very, he loves to laugh.
Yeah.
And I'm so goofy. So it's like constant just like, we're entertaining each other. You know
what
I mean?
It's necessary. If you're a silly person, you know,
you need to be,
yeah, I couldn't be in any other situation.
Is your girlfriend funny?
She's very funny.
See? Hot only takes you so far. Like, hot's great, right? We all love hot. Hot is great. We love it. Sexy, boobies,
but
it vaginas,
lasts. It only
all
lasts
that.
So long, yes.
But then eventually, boobies, you know, vaginas, you're fucking the same vagina and looking at the same tits bouncing up and down for years.
Penis. How did you describe those
penis? Yeah, but if the person isn't have anything else to offer, that's what I think the problem is, you know?
Yeah.
And then that's why I think now, you know, my husband's like, okay, like, I'm not the hottest girl, but I'm funny.
I think you're the hottest and the funniest.
Oh, my God, John.
All right.
I'll give you 45 minutes to stop that. anyway, guys, make sure to follow John. John, tell him your Instagram.
It's my name, which is real
Jesus
hard
Christ.
To spell.
Spell that out
John
for
Rudnitsky, JonRudnitsky. Catch-22.
/Soviet Union.
Yeah, /Soviet _ your landlord. Catch-22
on Hulu. Watch that. John is on the Hulu show, Catch-22. And then the movie you did with Reese Witherspoon was
Home Again. That's,
which I
believe,
about it.
Yeah, I think available on Amazon.
And iTunes, I'm sure.
iTunes, absolutely.
Guys, make sure to watch that. It has Reese Witherspoon, America's Sweetheart, and John. And it's just the best. And thank you so much for being here, John.
Thank you for having me. And I'll be doing stand up, you know, and I'll be in Syracuse. I'll be in Phoenix.
Let's
coming up.
Dates.
So come on through. Come see
some
shows.
To his, guys, go to John's Instagram. Make sure to go see him. He's been doing stand-up for a while. I promise you won't be disappointed. And if you are, come back, write me a letter, and I'll read it on the podcast. All right, great.
And I'll listen and cry.
John, thank you so much for being here, guys. Stay tuned for next week's Worst Verse. Thank you all so much for all your positive feedback and comments. I love you all so much, and
bye.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor. You can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings. But I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.